Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
It is the APC podcast from AcmePackingCompany.com, part of SB Nation and Vox Media. The season has begun. Well, not formally, but the preseason is over and we are getting ready for Packers Bears, and we could not be more excited. We are mere days, hours even perhaps, by the time some of you are listening to this, away from Packers Bears, the first game of the 2019 season. I believe the 199th meeting of those two teams. Sorry if I got that number wrong. I'm pretty sure that is accurate. I am Zach Rapport, dialing it in from Albuquerque, New Mexico, at Zach Rapport on Twitter. If you want to be my 1,000th follower, I'm at 999 followers after like 12 years on Twitter. No small feat. I am joined by none other than my trusty cohort out in Detroit, Michigan, Ben Foldy. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. Feels like it's been roughly 24 hours.
Yeah, that is factually correct. Follow Ben Foldy at Ben Foldy on Twitter for some Packers stuff during the season and a variety of other takes of other natures. Ahead on the show, on the docket, we are, of course, going to talk Packers, Bears, give some takes, see how we feel about that game heading into week one. And we will have a visit from our official podcast diviner, Jamie Ross, who is going to pull some cards and help us try to predict the 2019 season. I know a lot of listeners have been asking for our annual tarot card episode, so we are excited to make that happen on short notice and appreciative that Jamie could join us. He'll join us in just a few seconds. But first, a quick note nug before we get there. After, Ben, you and I published our roster cutdown weekend mini pod 24 hours ago, as you so rightly pointed out, one of your lingering fears was addressed by the team. You were concerned about the depth at inside linebacker with the injuries and inexperience there, and well, it turns out that the Packers were as well concerned about that depth. So they trade for linebacker B.J. Goodson from the New York Giants. Details of the trade are, I believe, undisclosed still so far, but Goodson was a cut candidate in New York. They got wind that a number of teams actually were interested in him, and so Gutekunst makes the call, and the Giants get value where they weren't going to get any before. Similar to the Packers trading Justin McCray a few days ago. Goodson is a fourth-year guy, an off-ball linebacker, and he was a starter in New York for each of the last two seasons. So, Ben, does this quell your depth concerns at all at inside linebacker?
I think somewhat. I feel better about this than I did about Antonio Morrison, but I think it's a similar kind of pretty low risk, pretty limited upside too. Like, it's a, you know, replacement value kind of inside linebacker body to stick in the middle that can play against the run. And, you know, I think there'll be enough scheme variation that we'll probably see safeties in the slot. You know, you can play three safeties, you know, on tight end heavy sets or anything like that. So, you know, his coverage liabilities will probably be able to be masked pretty well. And it's better than not making this move, but it's also not gonna, I don't think it's gonna like move the needle that much.
Yeah, I agree. But a guy like Ty Summers, a rookie seventh round pick, with Oren Burks going down, Ty Summers was suddenly set to possibly play a lot of meaningful snaps. And so now, hopefully, I think this sort of spells it a little bit. I think that they're going to do a little 1A, 1B there, but as they get him up to speed. But certainly, I think this was needed help.
Yeah.
That's all we got for note nugs. Nothing else has really changed with the roster. So without further ado, I think we should tee up our official podcast diviner and see what the cards tell us about the 2019 season.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Now to kick off the season with my favorite, personal favorite episode of every year. Maybe the best idea I've ever had. A tarot reading with Tea and Tarot's Jamie Ross. An old friend. He's coming to us live from the Bay of Fundy, where he's on a residency. Have you learned anything new about football since the last time we talked?
I'm really glad you actually mentioned the sport in particular, because I'm so not a sports guy that I didn't even quite remember which sport the Packers played.
Great. This is ideal. But I mean, I know that every season, I you know, I should have listened to last year's episode before we did this, but I feel like every season your readings are more right than not, I feel like, is the general, like, I think that's one of the reasons that we've had people asking us when we're going to do this show, and people, you know, it's a pretty accurate prediction as so far. I don't think it's been off like any year we've done it.
I would say that your batting average with us is fairly high, especially considering, as you just mentioned, that you don't really follow really any professional sports. But Ben, to your earlier mention of last year's prediction, last year I think our interpretation of the reading led us to believe a few things. One, that we would see a young player stand out big time, and I think that with Jair Alexander, I think that was correct.
Or Kenny Clark,
yes. Also, there would be a traumatic shakeup later in the year, and indeed the team did struggle, and the longtime head coach was fired before the end of the season, which is a big deal. He'd been, was it 13 years he was coaching the team? So it was a big deal. We also interpreted that shakeup would ultimately lead to positive things in the long run, and that does bring us to today, because now we have a new coach, a new scheme, a new culture. And this really sort of begins the next chapter. So I think our listeners are really anxious to see what the cards may hold.
All right. So, Jamie, do you have any words before you want to jump into this?
I do. I'd like to say that it's actually like I've been really looking forward to this, and I had forgotten to. When you got a hold of me, it was a good reminder, because I had sort of forgotten the last couple of weeks. But I think this is our third. Is this the third time I've been reading for your show?
Third or fourth, honestly. It might be the fourth.
I think it's the fourth.
Which is longer than I've done almost anything in my life. I just want to point that out.
Well, I'm really excited because I'm a professional reader, just to sort of give your audience a background. But I'm also a radio maker. I have a show of my own. I have a monthly show on community radio in Montreal called Audio Smut. And so it's interesting to merge the two, to bring the two together. My divining practice in Montreal is very one-on-one and client-based. So people come and they have their readings sort of like seeing a therapist. It's a lot like seeing a therapist. And it's really fun to read for something that has potentially more collective stakes, or maybe just different stakes. It's really fun.
I will plug CKUT any day of the week. Love CKUT. Tune in. I'm sure you can stream it. You could stream it back when I was at the station, so I'm sure you can stream it. Is it 91.3?
Yep, 90.3.
90.3 FM, if you happen to be in the Montreal area. Or even, it's got a pretty strong transmitter, actually. Like, you can get it through most of southern Quebec and probably even around the St. Lawrence in the U.S.
Yeah, it's Montreal's sort of politically radical radio, and lots of really good music, underground music, big focus in the last couple years has been developing indigenous language programming.
That's great.
Yeah, the first Inuktitut language show in Montreal. I could go on, but my show is the sex show. The sex, the Eros, and Desire show.
In the off chance that one person listening is familiar with this, we can tribute this episode to Alan Euster, who I'm not sure if you know, but Alan just died a week or two ago and was a board member at CKUT with me. And so talking about CKUT makes me think of him. And if anybody in the Montreal punk rock Anglo scene is listening, know that this episode is a tribute to Alan Euster.
My condolences.
My condolences to you that you didn't know him. Shall we jump in?
Let's do it. So I think as you guys know at this point, I like to have a little bit of background before I go into a reading, which helps me develop the spread. The spread is what we call the layout of the cards. Mm-hmm. So since I'm really not a sports person, although I do have an idea of some of the things you're interested in, are there any threads of inquiry into this year's performance that you guys are particularly interested in that I can tailor to?
I mean, I guess to fill you in a little, so as Zach mentioned, you know, there was a rather traumatic break late in last season. And, you know, in this off season, it's pretty much an entirely new coaching staff. And so, I mean, even, you know, we kept the defensive coordinator, but a lot of his position staff is new. So it's kind of a clean slate, and we don't have a whole lot of an idea of what this team will look like, because even in the preseason, they didn't show a lot of the playbook or the starters for that matter. So it's kind of a brave new world.
I guess if I wanted to drum up controversy and go the clickbait route, I would say that a line of inquiry could be the relationship between the head coach and the quarterback. Not that that's okay. Something that I am particularly interested in, but people in general, I think, are particularly interested in that.
Yeah, I really don't understand that.
I don't either.
That fascination, or why anybody would think that it's any different than it normally is. But I guess it is. Aaron Rodgers is his first time working with a new coach since he was a rookie. So maybe there is something there.
Okay, great. So something I've never done before is offer you guys a little bit of audio of the shuffling. Would you be interested in hearing the cards as they're shuffled and then drawn?
Love it.
Hells yeah. Radio is rubbing off on you.
This is our ASMR moment.
Exactly. Okay, so I think also it would maybe interesting to tell your audience that sort of on the scale of completely woo-woo to completely, I guess, sort of a rational approach to tarot, sort of a psychological, maybe a Jungian even approach to tarot, I like to sit in sort of the middle. So some readers will go very ceremonial and very ornate in terms of what they do as they draw the cards. But for me, it's something more of a centering, a moment to just calm myself, to invite the person sitting next to me to calm themselves too. But there's no great airs of esotericism for me. So that's sort of one of the things for me. But one thing I do every time as I shuffle is I uncross my legs. I uncross my arms. And for me, that's just sort of a signal to my subconscious brain that I'm preparing myself for something which is of a heightened import. I'm not just sitting in a drive-through or picking my nose. This is something that will spread to the whole rest of the year.
If you can pick your nose with your arms crossed, I gotta hand it to you.
I salute you.
And what I like to do often as I draw the cards too, before I stop shuffling, is I like to check in with each of my senses. This is where I sort of depart into the woo territory.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, in turn, ask myself, what is it that I can hear? What can I see? Are there smells where I am? Can I taste anything? And then I take a deep breath in, a deep breath out, and I cut the cards. In a pile of three. Now, since you are the querents, you two are the querents asking the question, I'd like to invite you both together, maybe at the same time, to let me know when the shuffling is complete. So,
okay.
So you'll have to also use your intuition amongst yourselves. But whenever you feel like the cards are ready to give us the divinatory advice, speak up and I'll start.
Go for it.
All right. Okay.
The anticipation is killing me.
Yeah. If Rogers gets hurt, I'm just going to walk into a lake, I think.
I don't think you have many lakes down there.
There's one.
Okay, you guys. Are you ready?
Indeed.
Born ready.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the clickbait emphasis, the analysis based on personality, maybe things that are kind of apart from the game, away from the game. We're all about that this year.
All about the drama?
Yeah, all about the interpersonals, all about personality, character, relationships. It's all about character study. It might even be about looks and appearances. It's all about the person, not the game. That's frustrating news. I know I'm not really a sports person, but even as a non-sports person, these aren't necessarily cards we want to see.
Hmm.
So just like the playing card deck, the tarot deck, I mean, of which it is the sort of the great granddaddy. The tarot deck is there are three structures, three big groups in the cards. There's the 1 to 10 or ace to 10, like we still have in playing cards. There's the court with the kings and queens. And we still have that in playing cards, obviously. And the section which was sort of removed as tarot became playing cards that we know today were the major arcana, the big ones, the death card, the pope, the high priestess. Those cards, we still have one. We have the Joker. The Joker is the fool card, the last remnant of the medieval Italian cards that are known as the tarocchi or the tarot. So all that is to say, the beginning of the reading is full of these cards, which are the court. And the court for us, 4 times 4 with each suit, are 16 personality archetypes. And when you see an overabundance of these personality archetypes, that's exactly what people are really chewing on. The facts of character and the facts of how someone is interpreted by the outside world based on their actions, but especially what they say, how they say it, the superficial. So that's kind of weird to look at how a season will go. I have a couple more like more specific things to get into, but that's the first piece of news that people are really going to be focusing on, especially also the way people come off visually. I don't know how that could be interpreted more specifically.
Well, there's a lot of body language policing that goes on with our quarterback who sometimes during games can be seen to the spectator to be whatever, like disengaged in moments or kind of a grump.
Oh.
I don't know. You know, these are things that I think Ben and I don't put a lot of stock into, but certainly I think a lot of people do in terms of sort of the poise and what some people would call the visual cues of leadership that the royal we wants to see on the field from our general, from our quarterback. Again, I don't think that's something that we particularly care about, but en masse, it's something that is talked about.
Right, right, right. I think there's something interesting too about how sort of the unpredictableness of some people's personality, the unpredictability of some people's personality, especially outbursts, that could be really something people focus on. Does the quarterback have a particular temper that has ever come out, at least come out in a public way?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, this is definitely something that like that particular thing is going to be like focused on or sensationalized. I think especially, yeah, the temper thing is really critical here in the middle. Like, it's kind of frustrating to have like the first divinatory indications for the entire season hinge on someone's temper. Like, that seems just completely absurd, but that's what's been dealt.
I actually don't think that is absurd, because the last coach who was fired, I think much was made about sort of the perception of what the relationship was between this player and that coach. It had gone south, most people believed, and there were moments of strife and moments of, of temper. So bringing in this new coach, a lot of the narrative already in this offseason, and I'm sure it's going to go on all year long, is surrounding questions of, oh, how are these two people going to get along? And whether or not that's actually relevant to what's going on the field, again, is, you know, something that I think Ben and Alex and I are skeptical of, but it doesn't seem absurd to me.
Moving on, though, there's an intense indication around a particular type of injury, which is the injury of, well, of the spine.
Oh,
no.
Also of overwork, things that are like oppressive amounts of either training or exertion that cause a wear on the body, which sucks. It sucks to see.
Are those the same card?
No. Each of these interpretations is based on a triplet of cards. So one of the things I really like with tarot, and sort of what brings tarot to like a 201 or 301 level, is that you're not just basing each interpretation on a single card. We're using like the position in which they fall, the position in the entire reading, and then their immediate neighbors. So each of these three, kind of amongst the three, what would coalesce is what gets interpreted. So in this case, there's a lot of heat, there's a lot of fire, and the indication is that that goes to the back. So unfortunately, there might be an injury. I really hope that there isn't. I mean, the game is also an injurious sport, so.
Yes, there will definitely be injuries, but hopefully I could go the rest of my life without ever seeing another football player carted off on a backboard. Yeah. Like, spinal injuries are just like not, there's never a point that brings me closer to not ever wanting to watch football again than when those happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because like the person who would be getting the injury is not involved with this conversation, right? So like oftentimes if there's something, and I'm also not a doctor, and I don't diagnose people's physical health issues, but if someone is like, if these, some of these cards would come up and there was a person sitting next to me, I would say, really be careful how you're training, or like, is there any way in which like you're straining and you're bringing too much heat, you're not cooling down, you're burning yourself out. And then also in what ways are you protecting your spine, your spinal cord and your neck? But since the people involved in this conversation are not the ones that this refers to, it's kind of a strange position, because as fans, you can't like, you know, advocate for more careful stretching or like more off days.
I mean, we can yell that. I've yelled that before at the TV, like, why aren't you doing yoga?
Well, actually, but that's the question I was going to pose to you guys, is like, what do you do as fans, as pretty invested fans too, at that, when you see people, when you see trainers or owners or people pushing those players too hard, you see that burnout happening.
I mean, the fans are usually the people pushing too hard. I mean, coaches also push too hard, but fans are not, like, you know, you would have no way of knowing this, but one of the sport's biggest stars retired a couple of weeks ago. It was a big shock due to just being tired of recovering from injuries. But all the a large portion of fans were like, oh, you were going to make so much money, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'd give my left dick to be, you know, in your shoes. And you know, everybody, it was just the stupidest discourse in football in a long time. And I'm sure there'll be something stupider tomorrow, but because it's football. But yeah, I mean, I think the fans often have an unreasonable expectation about injuries too. I wonder if, in the case of the Packers, I mean, Brett Favre kind of left such a weird legacy around injuries and being unbreakable that I feel sometimes Rodgers is held to a standard that it's pretty unrealistic, especially considering he played through the last season on a broken knee. So what do we as fans do with injuries? I mean, I'm almost always on the, like, take a guy out of the game, like, preserve his long-term health over the alternative. But I can't. I don't know. Again, it doesn't really matter what I think as a fan ever.
Yeah, and it's hard too because the players themselves are programmed to try to push through pain and get back on the field if they can.
Yeah, absolutely. If that's their job, right? That's what they've been training their whole lives to do. It is a really high cost you're paying in order to, to commit to that sport and to that lifestyle as a worker. And so, I mean, hats off to people who do it. It's really, it's quite a sacrifice.
Did you hear that, Packers Nation?
Keep it civil.
Keep it chill with the aggressive, dumb injury stuff.
I think there's something interesting, too, about, and this question comes up in a strange way in the cards. The cards are asking it through the Queen of Wands, who's a really powerful woman. And one of her big enthusiastic sort of ways of expressing her femininity causes me to wonder, to ask what the role of powerful, enthusiastic women is in this sport. Are there people either in the management or ownership or training that are particularly outspoken women?
For the Packers, I would say not that I know of, which isn't to say that there aren't women in the organization, but I honestly can't name a single one. You know, it's funny you brought that up, and I thought of Mina Kimes, but I don't honestly have any idea. I mean, there have been women in the sport in powerful positions, but, you know, I mean, without getting too much into it, I mean, there's less black coaches than there used to be even just a few years ago. It's been a pretty homogenous power structure that is not changing anytime soon, and is, if anything, it seems to be getting worse, not better.
Well, there's an interesting sort of apparition or figure. So I would definitely watch
Danica Patrick.
Is she related to the team?
She's Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend, and she gets a lot of, well, she didn't get flack so much as his prior romantic attachment got a lot of guff from fans when he didn't do well.
But she is a former race car driver and a well-known and powerful woman in her own right. So maybe that's something.
Yeah, that's true.
It just occurred to me that this actually could be related to the show itself.
Uh-oh.
Maybe in terms of the particular archetype is not necessarily just a female person, a woman. It could also be ways in which femininity, especially it could be motherly, but it's also really sort of like a peer enthusiasm, a peer's enthusiasm, but from a woman. Finding a way to incorporate that sort of novel voice into the conversation would really behoove you. I think especially, yeah, I mean, this is usually someone who's incredibly like blisteringly intelligent as well.
Maybe it is Mina Kimes.
I would describe her as blisteringly intelligent.
Yeah, I mean, she's other than you, Jamie, she's my favorite guest that we ever get to have.
Oh, cool. Maybe it's time to call her up. So we have a really good card in the next position that I wanted to talk about, which has to do sort of more with attainment. How have there been trades so far? Like, is the trading season, has it happened? Like, do you know the team, who the team will be?
Yeah, so this weekend, actually, the team, all teams really, are solidifying their final lineups as we head into the season, which starts for the Packers on Thursday. And there was a last-minute trade today. For kind of a role player on the team, it certainly wasn't a blockbuster move or anything.
Because it looks like this year could be strong, and this year could also complete things that have been happening. Could complete trajectories of growth and building and vision that have already been put into place in previous seasons. But not in an outstandingly long-term kind of way. The idea that this is a season in which the team can play really well, but it's not necessarily creating legacy. And I don't really know what sort of arcs necessarily like teams will build over the course of decades. I don't know if that's something that really happens because of how the team's composition is always changing. But what the omens are really talking about is this idea that there's things that are really attainable, very concrete, but the terms and the length of that trajectory is not as long as one would hope in terms of these omens. So it could be that however the season is broken up, there's a complete cycle of success in one of those terms, or it could be that the year itself is completed with a lot of strength and success, but there's something that sort of snoozes at the end of it or something. It could be, I would say, if I was putting down my money towards a team, that this would be a year to put the money down on the team. But somehow not to invest in it. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, I mean, I can see ways of that. I mean, could it be that something like the team looks good this year, builds a lot of optimism moving forward, but then, you know, it looks like, you know, it's a new era, and then it turns out that no, it's not a new era, and it was just kind of a flash in the pan for whatever reason.
Yeah, that fits it. That fits the omens for sure. That definitely fits the omens. I think there's a certain amount of also, yeah, of holding out. Almost like if this was for someone who was a player that was present with me now, I would say definitely hold out before you have more information about how the engagement will play out. It's positive, but it's not. It sort of misses a long-term enthusiasm. So I would say there's a lot of success, but that success doesn't carry over.
One thing that comes to mind is the defense under Mike Patton. So we're now in year two of Mike Patton as the defensive coordinator. And so we have been building in the short term towards this better product on defense after years and years of this area of play being the source of all of our woes. And it was a big improvement last year with this guy coming in and sort of shaking up the scheme and the culture. And so now we're heading into year two. He's got some new coaches under him, as well as some new players who have been acquired in the off season. And so I think that most people are expecting the defense to take sort of a big jump, but there were some players who were acquired through free agency, sort of big contracts going out to players to bring them established players elsewhere, to bring them into the fold. Guys like Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, among a few others. And so maybe sort of the short-term nature is coming into play there with, if I'm interpreting that, maybe it means like they won't be on the team for very long, or, you know, they're there to bolster the team and they will have success, but that success will be short-term. I guess that's maybe a little bit of a reach, but that's something.
One thing that comes up for me is when you mentioned hold out, I was like, who could potentially kind of hold out? Who is young and looking forward and looking to build a legacy? And I was wondering, this is probably a year where the Packers are looking to sign Kenny Clark to an extension, and he may well not sign. And you know, he has another year of team control next season, but the early rookie contract holdout is getting more and more common, and so I don't think there's any danger of that this season, but it could be a really, really good season for Clark, and then Clark could still hold out or use that to try to drive negotiations and before next season. I mean, that's looking pretty far down the line, but if you said that something was like building a legacy, but you would caution somebody to kind of hold off or see where things are going to go. I guess Kenny Clark would be my guess as like an individual player kind of in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, what's a typical number of years that a player will play on a team? Like, is there any sort of typical arc for that?
It depends on the type of player and, like, the level of... I would say that football, more than most sports, has a pretty disposable approach to people. And the Packers are even more kind of aggressive about that disposability than some other teams. But, you know, it really depends on the position, too. I mean, Rodgers has been with the team since 2005, I want to say. But the team's kind of built around him. And then, you know, I think I have the sense that the team would also like to build around Kenny Clark. But, you know, we'll see if that's actually possible.
So I think we're going to see something really exciting from someone who's been on the team for their second year. This is something to look for, particularly. So someone, a player's second year. So if there's any particular attention that can be paid to those players that were not, that didn't just join the team, but did last year, that's important.
Second year leap. That's exciting.
Jair Alexander is a guy that comes to mind for me. What about you, Ben?
I was going to say Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Yeah. You love those receivers, man.
I do, but I mean, obviously Jair, you know, set the bar pretty high in his first season. I guess Josh Jackson and Tony Brown are also potential candidates.
Ooh,
for
Tony
this.
Brown, a dark horse. I like that.
Or Oren Burks, even.
I could see that.
I'm all about second year leaps. Like, bring them on. Come on.
So I think what we're looking at is the creation of what will one day, or what has, who has the potential one day to become a real breakout star. The cards here speak of both strength and also a long-term ability to complete their potential. So this won't be the year necessarily that happens, but you'll be able to start seeing that. So someone will be making some extremely exciting developments.
Man, you know how to keep us on the hook. Like I was all like, oh, it's going to be a bummer season of drama and spinal injuries, and now I'm like, oh man, one of the second year guys is gonna take a big leap. Like, I'm super into it.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta say, like, that idea of like it being good omens but not the best is real. Like, it's not a bad year at all. It's just that the it's just not like necessarily the kind of thing where like they're gonna win everything.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable, it's a pretty reasonable prognosis for the Packers' upcoming season, honestly.
But I have one more section left, and this is the section that I most prefer in my readings for your podcast, which is the section that refers to you.
Okay.
Uh-oh. If you're into it, I remember last time it was quite surprisingly accurate. There's three of you, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you have all of the romantic omens come down. Like, it's literally, it could be better right now, especially on like the like erotic front. Like, this is really just like, how do, in my head I'm laughing because I'm like, how do I bring this back to the Packers podcast? But these omens are like just like really like they underscore the fact that this is a time in your friendship and your lives that you can really enjoy yourselves physically before, you know, like before middle age. This is a time when like oftentimes people talk about like feelings of like, you know, returning to teenage, I don't know what people are talking about, but like, you know, when like people are like, have like a mid 30s, like sexual, like renaissance.
A reawakening.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm blushing.
The other caveat though with this with these three cards is also there's a timing issue, so that like while there's indications of like total fertility and like, you know, sexual reawakening, there's also the issue of making sure things are in the right timing, making sure things are planned. If you're hetero, making sure you're planning things that could come from a sexual awakening, you know? But the other thing is like the idea of these like this erotic wellness can also be translated into the platonic realm, of course. So if someone's single, or if you're talking about a a platonic group like we are with you three, that sort of fertility and well-being and sort of like that buoyed up nature of interrelation is also applicable to you.
Yeah.
So making sure that timing is there means that you're actually engaging physically and personally whenever possible. So you guys, are you all three in different cities now?
Yep.
We are now. So maybe it's we really got to commit to the video chat.
Yeah, that's I think the crux of it. When people are not present, when their absence is physical, that's when these cards are sort of go unused. So I would say also, like, do you guys ever go see a Packers game together?
We've talked about it, but we haven't.
It could happen.
Well, I think it would really behoove you to do it this year. These cards,
this year.
The timing piece, particularly around this idea of togetherness and contact, I think would really mean the idea that it may take some real scheduling, but it really would, it would be important and special. I think like this. So this is sort of me wistful as I look out at the sea, but there's something interesting I think about with these cards valuing those relationships that that you've cultivated over time, and that's part of this idea of that relationship wellness. And if that's peaking as these cards suggest, or if that's like coming to a point of really being able to like look around at this podcast you've created and think, shit, we made something really beautiful, and these friendships that you've tended to and built up and sustained over the years, that these cards are really causing, I mean, in the whole reading, they're really calling me to say, this is something special this year, especially, and to make sure that even though in your absence, there is contact and there is, that sort of togetherness and feeling of being with one another.
Wow.
Ben, are you ready to take our platonic friendship to the next level?
Yeah. I'm down to go to a game too. I have no idea how much, you know, if the Lions are really bad. I mean, I imagine the Packers are still like an expensive ticket for them, but, you know, I don't know. It could be, doable if you guys want to come to Detroit.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
I think you should. I think this is the year also that this is sort of like, and just like how therapists sometimes give homework to their clients, the first piece of take home for you guys is to let yourselves speak to that platonic love that you have developed in this podcast, both to your audience and amongst the three of you. And that sort of love omen is super strong in this reading.
I'm into that.
Just three guys who love each other talking about the Packers. I'm into it.
Fuck that's, yeah.
That's real.
So that's the first take home. This is the year in which like that love is made manifest. But it's also like made manifest in your personal lives. So yeah, be really careful with that. Or if anyone's trying to get pregnant, then congratulations, but that would definitely be like something in the cards this year. Make
oh,
sure it's
man,
planned.
Oh man.
Yeah.
No, we just got a dog. That's plenty.
For the team itself, unfortunately, there's a lot of emphasis on personality and drama and especially outbreaks and, you know, acting bad. So I don't know. That might be a big distraction this year. Second-year players, people seeing their potential realized, but in terms of the grand narrative of the team, a good year, but not an excellent year. And then the last piece of take home, last pretty crucial piece of take home is that one around overwork, burnout, and then potentially spinal injuries.
Jamie. You always knock this out of the park, and honestly, I can safely say that this is Packers analysis that our listeners would not get anywhere else, and you know, I think we probably have some new listeners, and this might be the first time that they're hearing this, and it's really easy to dismiss, but I will just, you know, say dismiss it at your own peril. These predictions have been pretty good for the last couple of years. So,
well, look, there's a lot of talking heads that get paid a lot of money to provide an analysis, and I'm doing air quotes, analysis, and give their take before the season starts. And most of those people are wrong. So
I was definitely a born skeptic about divination. And if someone had told me that they could read the future, I would definitely have laughed at them. But over the last, I guess, like 15 so years since I've been reading, I consider myself a changed man.
Nailed it. You always nail it. Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, I hope the team does great. I hope everyone takes care and doesn't overstrain their bodies in their labor. And I like to wish you guys a happy Labor Day.
Agreed wholeheartedly.
Same to you. Thanks so much. Huge thank you to Jamie Ross on short notice, Skyping us from his car to do the annual tarot card reading. Some fun stuff coming out of that, some cool stuff, some worrisome stuff, per usual, but we shall see how that all plays out. Ben, how do you feel coming out of that reading?
I'm going to focus on the positive, the heavy erotic energy, and I'm a big fan of like second year leaps. I always like to see guys getting better. So those are what I hope that the drama stuff is kind of in the background, but honestly, I'll probably treat it as relatively in the background no matter what.
Yeah, that's true. That's how we operate here. The Packers are set to kick off the regular season in Chicago against the vaunted Chicago Bears. Let's get some quick takes here as the Packers head into the week one showdown. Ben, you shaking in your boots about Mitch Trubisky or what's the deal? How do you feel?
I'm not worried about Mitch Trubisky, but I do think that the Bears are a reasonable favorite for this game. Mostly, you know, for a lot of things that have nothing to do with, you know, either the Packers or the Bears, honestly. You know, I'm just looking at some tweets by Rich Freebar from, I think, last week. He brought up that since the NFL started week one on Thursday nights in 2002, home teams have a 14-2 overall record and a 10-4 record against the spread. Bears are a 3-point favorite. And then when you take into account then that the Bears covered a league-high 70.6% of their games in 2018, Chicago was 6-1 against the spread as a home favorite, and the only team in the NFL to cover in every division game in 2018, I would say that, you know, the Packers can lose on Thursday, and I will not freak out. It's basically what I want. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd like the Packers to win, but the odds are not in their favor.
Yeah.
And I think a first game with a new coach, I just want to see more kind of signs of positive growth than I do, you know, a big victory over an arch rival.
But I'll take a big victory over an arch rival.
Yeah, no, I'm not kicking that out of bed.
Yeah.
But in the erotic energy category. But
yeah, I mean if we're looking for you know, an optimistic take, I would say that no one has seen what a head coach Matt LaFleur offense looks like. They didn't show anything in the preseason, and I saw some winks and some nods from guys like Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams given their locker room availability the other day, where they kind of let on how excited they are to finally unleash this offense. I think that they feel pretty confident about the scheme and about some tricks that they may or may not have up their sleeves. Another point I think to be optimistic about is that I think that the Bears defense, while still, I think that they're going to be awesome, I think that they're a little bit of a regression candidate, especially having lost Vic Fangio. Chuck Pagano is a really good D coordinator as well, but I see it's almost impossible for their defense to be as good as it was last year. So I look.
Oh, I don't think anybody should be chasing that.
Yeah, yeah. So I look for them to take a step back.
They got HaHa Clinton Dix.
We can talk all day about Bears fans HaHa Clinton Dix fantasies. I don't know. I just I like that guy as a guy.
Yeah, he's a nice dude. Like I got no beef, like a nice guy. I would not say that he is. I would say that I'm happier with Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage than I was with HaHa Clinton Dix going into this season.
And I think going forward, we'll have a lot more analysis. We'll also have expert guests like Ben Fennell, Justice Mosqueda, and others as we get into the season, as well as some bloggers from around SB Nation and the general NFL blogosphere talking about other teams and being able to give some more robust previews. But as we head into week one here with a Packers team that we just don't know that much about, it's really an unknown. So with that, you want to give a prediction?
I think that the Bears, I just read off all those tweets, and I think that the Bears will cover.
The Bears will cover. You want to give a score prediction, or you don't want to be that bold?
I think it's unlikely that the Bears win by a field goal because they're the Bears. So I will say, I think there'll probably be some hiccups in the new offense, and I will say 17-10.
17-10 Bears, Ben says. Well, for no other reason other than we need some optimism, and I'm not gambling here. I'm going to take the Packers to win their first game under head coach Matt LaFleur. The final score, 23-21. Where did I get that number from? Honestly, I just kind of made it up. And with that, I think that's an ender. I want to thank Jamie Ross again for taking time out of his beachfront schedule there to call us from his car, do the tarot card reading. Lots of people look forward to that every year. We're glad we're able to do it on short notice. Once again, the Pick'em. I want to mention this before we get out of here. The APC podcast listener Pick'em is back. It's free to play. The highest placing listener does get a prize to be named later. So the way to sign up, if you're on Twitter, is to follow us at the APC pod and send us a tweet or a DM, and we'll get your information. We'll get you set up. And if you're not on Twitter, you can email us theapcpodcast@gmail.com. theapcpodcast@gmail.com. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can compete against me and some other guys at APC and show us what morons we are, because we usually don't win. So with that, we're going to take it into the regular season here as the Packers get set to begin the Matt LaFleur era in earnest, whatever that may mean. Ben, you got any closing thoughts?
No, I'm just excited.
Me too, man. Really, really, really bleeping excited. Thursday night football. Football is back. I'm dancing in my seat. Not literally, but, you know. All right, we're going to stop this. See you guys later. Go Pack, go.
Peace.